والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو الغفور العزيز، وهو العزيز الغفور. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.
Would you come forward please? Would you come here forward? صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Death is the most frightening and undesired human experience, because people perceive death as a non-existence state. People think that when we die, our life comes to an end. Our life concludes, and hence the one who dies, he's relieved and released from the pain. But if you look at the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran interprets death differently. The Holy Quran puts death before life for a reason. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah creates death and life to test us. So death comes first. Quran accentuates that death is not a mere negative state. Death also is a positive process, and therefore our life does not come to an end. According to Muslim philosophers, when they define death, they say death is to transform from a specific mode or form of life into another form. According to us, death is the end of the form of life that we understand But it is not the cessation or the end of existence. If it is not the end of existence, what happens to us then? We are transformed into another realm, into another world. The spirit and the human soul is an enduring substance, does not disappear, stays there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْبَقَاءِ لَا لِلْفَنَاءِ خُلِقَ النَّاسُ لِلْبَقَاءِ فَظَلَّتْ أُمَّةٌ يَحْسَبُونَهُمْ لِلنَّفَادِ إِنَّمَا يُنْقَلُونَ مِنْ دَارِ أَعْمَالٍ إِلَى دَارِ شِقْوَةٍ أَوْ رَشَادِ. This is the bottom life, the bottom line of life and death. We are being transformed from the life of suffering and misery and agony into another life. And you have two choices there. Either further misery and suffering, but this time it's an eternal one, or an eternal success or prosperity. That is the meaning of death. And therefore, death has fears. It's a dreadful experience. Philosophers always emphasize that through death we reach our perfection. Man cannot reach perfection unless he dies. And death represents the completion of our cycle, of our human nature in this life. We have to go through death. And I will elaborate on this point later on, inshallah. So if death is the completion of our journey and cycle in this life, why do people experience fear and happiness when they anticipate death? What's wrong? Because death is associated with fears, and there are at least four types of main fears and anxieties that comes with death. Number one, the fear of the process of dying. When we die, death is not something normal. Death is not a plastic surgery. Death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about death, He says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The stupor. Stupor means, sakrah means intoxication, means a suspended sensibility. You want to speak, but you can't. You try to shout, to cry, but you can't. You try to call on the nurse, on the doctor to help you, on your parents, on your wife, on your husband, on your kids, but they can't hear you. You go through this struggle and this agony and this physical and psychological anguish and pain. And it is very deep. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. You were on the run. You tried to avoid this moment, but now you are facing it. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدُ وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. We are escorted by two angels. سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. You have an iron vision today. You can see the reality. You can see what is behind this wall and this curtain. You can see the reality. But it has pain. It's not something easy. And this is why when you listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the regular supplications, petitions of the Prophet to his Lord is to say, Allahumma a'inni ala sakaratil maut. Oh my Lord, help me without with that last moment of my life when I faced death. أشد الساعات على ابن آدم ثلاث أولها ساعة يرى فيها ملك الموت. If you think that you are going through some difficulties now in your life, if you think that you have some suffering now in your life, you have seen nothing yet. Wait until we see the angel of death. Imam Zain al-Abidin says that is the worst moment, the most difficult, the most dreadful experience. When you look at the angel of death and you realize your time is up. Your time is up. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتْ التَّرَاقِي. This is not a novel. This is not fiction. This is a reality. This is a true statement by our creator and our sustainer. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاق. مَنْ رَاق. Is there any help for this person? Can we call the ambulance, the emergency room, the doctor, the surgeon to save his or her life? كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاق. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ. This is the moment of death. And thus, the Quran refers to that moment as sakra, intoxication, and as ihtidar, and as an-naz', an-naz', an-naz' is coming from pulling. The angel of death is not going to have mercy with us. He is going to pull the soul out of the body. An-naz'. This is the meaning of the naz'. It is a very painful experience. What is the solution? I'm not here to frighten you. I'm not here to depress you. I'm just here to remind myself first. Myself and my brothers and sisters. That there is an important journey ahead of us. We don't know the departure time, but we know for sure that this journey does exist. Sooner or later, it will come to us. So we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. You have to prepare your documentations, your passport, your ticket. Be ready for that. You have to pack. You have to be on the standby for that moment. One of the things that relieves and decreases, enormously decreases the pain and the anguish of death is the loyalty, the fellowship to Muhammad wa al Muhammad. The noble prophet has been reported to say that حبي وحب أهل بيتي ينفع في مواطن ثلاث. Your loyalty, your love, your compassion, your respect, your fellowship to him, to the noble prophet and to his family, to his immediate family, to those who have been cleansed, purified, ordained and selected by Allah, not any family member. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. It's not a matter of relating to the Prophet by blood, flesh and blood. Those who are related to him not only by flesh and blood, but by ideology, by struggle, by their message. If you have love for them, love and compassion and respect, and this is one of the manifestations of your love to Ahlul Bayt. When you come here, you take some time to come to this session, to come to this majlis. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is a demonstration of your love to Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet says, it is beneficiary in three places. One, عندما يرى ملك الموت وعندما يوضع في قبره وَعِنْدَمَا يَقُومُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. These three moments, critical moments, fearful moments, here the love for the Prophet and his family will be useful and will be of a great benefit for you. It will come to your aid and your rescue. So this is the first fear, the fear of the process of death. This is why we fear death. Yes, we fear death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most learned and the most educated person, he himself expresses fear, anxiety. He was nervous about death. He used to say, Allahumma a'in Muhammadan ala sakaratil maut. Make that experience easy for him. Do not torment him during the process of death. You have to include this prayers in your salat, in your dua, in your qunut, in your supplication. Remember this dua all the time. Allahumma a'inna ala sakaratil maut. Allahumma khaffif alayna sakaratil maut. So this is one. The second fear that has been associated with death is the fear of the repercussion of death, what comes after death. The first one was about death itself. When we die, it's painful, it's not easy. Now, after death, what happens to us? The fear of punishment, the fear of chastisement, the fear of retribution. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for life after death? Let me ask myself. Am I ready for that departure? Final departure? Because we are not prepared. Because we are unprepared. Because we are not ready. Because we are empty-handed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the community of the children of Israel. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. If you claim and allege that you are the chosen people of the Lord, you have the privilege of being God's children, then فَتَمَنَّوُا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah says, although they claim that they are the closest associates of God, yet they do not wish death for themselves for a very clear fact. And the fact is, because of what they did, the mischief they committed in the land. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. They don't wish death. They know they are guilty. The French philosopher Voltaire says, the punishment of any crime is the fear. Fear is the most intrinsic and natural punishment of any violation or any crime. That is the first repercussion of the crime. Self-enduring. You have fear. You know you did something wrong. Let me give you this parable. Most of us, including me, when we see the police officer, the traffic police officer, we fear him. Or we fear her, although she's a nice female. Why do we fear them? If you think about it, if you analyze this fear, those people that the traffic police officer could be a nice person, could be a caring father, a loving husband, a humble neighbor, a very friendly, smiling, nice man or woman. Then why do we fear them when we see them? I don't know about England here, but I know about America. Once we see them, as if we see Israel, even worse than that. We do fear them. Why? In fact, if you analyze this, you do not fear them We fear the repercussions, the consequences of our violations, of our crimes, because we break the law. And we know when we break the law, there are repercussions and consequences. There is a price that you have to pay for breaking the law. Because you know that this police is going to issue a citation for you, and then you have to stand before a judge. You have to go to the court. Maybe you end up in the prison. So this is what you fear, in fact. You don't fear the person as a human being. They could be very friendly and nice and harmless. We fear them because we fear the consequences of our work. Now go to Allah and see what He says in the Quran. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. If one entertains the fear of standing before his God's, his Lord's tribunal, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Here in this life, if we fear the standing before a judge, someone who's just like me, someone who could also be guilty, he's not completely innocent person, yet I fear him. Imagine when you fear, when you stand before the ultimate judge, Maliki Yawm al-Din, on the day of judgment. On a day that you come alone, you don't have an attorney with you, you don't have a friend, you don't have someone to hold your hand. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. So if you stand, if you fear the standing before the tribunal of your Lord, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. If you are serious about that fear, if you think about it seriously, if you give yourself some time to reflect, one day, as you are sitting here on chairs now, on that day we have to stand. On that day we have to stand. Some people, they can't stand because they are too weak, because they are so intimidated by the fear that they can't stand. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيًا. They can't stand. If you think about that moment, then you're going to exercise self-restraint and self-control. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Why people do not, although they know that this is a crime, this is violation, this is haram, this is forbidden, this is a heinous act, yet they commit it. Because they don't think about the consequences. If you think about what will happen to you when you stand before your Lord, at that time, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. If you fear that day, if you think about it, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَهُوَى. At the time of sin, this is my advice to myself, this guilty person first, and then to you, my brothers and sisters. At the time of when the Satan comes to whisper to you, to deceive you, to drag you to commit a sin, just give yourself 1 second, 1 moment of thinking, serious thinking. And ask yourself, am I being monitored by someone or not? If there is a monitoring cameras, security cameras here or there, we behave ourselves. We do not want to be caught. We do not want to be seen. We do not want to be taped as people who commit violations. We behave ourselves. There is a 24 hours camera monitoring system. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. He's watching us. He's monitoring us. So let's think about that moment for 1 second. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها. All women, pregnant women are going to have miscarriage. وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها because of the fear. وترى الناس سكارى, intoxicated, disoriented. وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله, ولكن عذاب الله شديد. It is tough, merciless. God's punishment is merciless. Comes from someone who's mercy, who's merciful, but yet his punishment. وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. Mountains, deserts, the earth, the heaven cannot stand, cannot withstand God's punishment. وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. So this is the second type of fear. The fear about death because we are not prepared for the next step. Let's be prepared. This is the University of Imam Hussein. In the University of Imam Hussein, we don't learn mathematics or language or science. We learn how to survive. We learn what is more important than science and mathematics. We learn how to survive here and how to make it to the right place there. So let's make another vow with Imam Hussein that from now on, when Shaitan comes to visit me, I will give myself a chance. Just think about what will happen. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Think that you cannot get away with this sin, whether it is verbal, whether it is emotional, whether it is physical, whether it is some sayings, a gesture, or even a look. Even a look. Even just a small look, small glance. You have to curtail this desire, because it all begins from the glance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't give your eyes what it desires, because the eyes, your eyes are very covetous. Tama. Covetous. Because if you give them the opportunity to look one time, the eyes is going to ask you for the second glance. And when you give it the second glance, it would not tell you this is enough. It will ask for the third one and the fourth one. And the Prophet says, غضوا أبصاركم ترون العجائب. If you want to realize, to understand, to enjoy the mysteries, وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. If you want to enjoy some of the mysteries of this universe, some of the realities, then curtail your vision. Don't look. Try to curtail this. غضوا أبصاركم. And Allah in Surah An-Nur advises both genders, men and women, to cast their eyes down. If you want to have a happy life, not to torture yourself, especially when it comes to the youth. Youth, sometimes you come to me and ask me that you are unhappy. And the answer, I ask you, did your father, did your mother, did your neighbor contribute into your unhappiness and misery? You tell me no. So who did then? Ask yourself. It is us. It is us. We torture ourselves. You permit yourself to violate God's rules, to look at things that have been haram, that have been designated in the Quran as haram, violations. But you permit yourself to look at that. And once you look at that, you torture yourself. You're going to suffer. Try to keep it safe. Keep it safe from these violations. Because the eyes is the main gate to where? It's not just a glance. The eyes reflects this vision to where? It goes to where? To your heart and to your mind. And then you go home in the evening and you think about that image. You start thinking about it. And the shaitan would not let you sleep. The shaitan will come and share this dream with you. try to make it more dramatic. And then the shaitan is going to build up on this and gives you false promises. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Nothing but deceit and lie and corruption. So try this. It's a free trial. Try to curtail your eyes. غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. Men and women both. تَرَوْنَ الْعَجَائِبُ. You're going to enjoy this life. That is the second fear. So we have the fear of the process of death. This is why people fear death. Because of the process of death is very painful. The second, the repercussion. The punishment that comes because we are unprepared. When I know myself, I am unprepared for this session, I become very nervous. But if I prepare myself, I'm relaxed. The third fear is the fear of the unknown. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. Unknown to us. This journey is very mysterious, is very ambiguous, is very dark and very confusing. We don't know what will happen to us. Can anyone tell you what happens? Go to any philosopher today, Muslim and non-Muslim philosopher, and ask him, what happens to me? Tell me the story of life after death. He or she will answer you, I have no information. Thomas Hobbes, one of the great English philosophers who lived in this country and in this city, some 400 years ago, when he was about to die, he realized that he's dying. He was so perplexed, he's so confused. He did not know what's happening to him. And this guy is a philosopher, political philosopher, social philosopher. And he was so tough, he was so fearless in his life. He sided with the monarchy here in England. And he was so brutal. But yet at the time when he realized he's leaving, he said the following. He said, I am about to take the last voyage in my life. It's a great leap in the dark. A great leap in the dark. He's a philosopher, but yet, when he comes to death, he knows nothing about death. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. Why? Because it's a different reality. The hereafter is different than this life. No matter how you study, how you research, yet, you are in the first step. Some of the philosophers tell us that they make this parable, this comparison. They say, man's current knowledge and understanding about life after death, al-hayatu al-akhirah, is proportioned to the size he occupies in this life compared to the vast size of the entire universe. How much space, how much room you occupy in this universe? How much? Can you tell me how much? What is the right answer? What is the right answer? How much size we as individuals we occupy in these colossal universe, in this gigantic mass of galaxies and stars. Only our galaxy, if you want to travel from one side of it to another side, it takes you 100,000 light years. 100,000 light years. Traveling from one corner into another. Only in our galaxy. And there is 1,000 billion galaxies in this universe. 1,000 billion galaxies. This is the time it takes. It's forever. An endless journey. How much size I occupy in this universe, in this galaxy? The answer is nothing. Nothing. I occupy nothing. I can't even say zero. Zero is too much. Too much room and space for me. This is the knowledge that we have about the hereafter. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You were completely unaware of these expectations and these new discoveries that you're going to see and witness after death. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَائِكَ. The world of the Akhirah has completely different realities from the realities of this life. And hence, our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet says, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهِ. Reflect on this sentence. It's very shocking. It's very frightening. The Prophet says, whenever I come across a horrible scene in my life, I still believe that the grave, the scenery of the grave is even more horrible, more shocking, and more terrifying. مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهِ. Allahu Akbar. When we go to the cemetery, what do we see? We see graves. What is inside them? Inside them is dust and dirt and some rocks. Nothing else. But is this the grave? This is the reality of the grave? It's not. We see nothing. We see but dirt. The reality is completely different. The Prophet says, Al-Qabru imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufar al-nar. What you see is just the physical side. Bring the most complicated and complex and advanced computer to a child who's 2 years old and show him the computer. What does he see? He sees nothing. He sees a toy for him. This is just a toy. But give it to someone who's 18 or 20 years old, this is a treasure for him. This is the difference. We look at the grave, for us, it is just a small hole. And this is why a person who once told me that I say it in my life, I committed every heinous crime. There is no crime, no sin, no wrongful act, no misdeeds in the dictionary, but I committed it. Suddenly I stopped. I went back to Allah. And tomorrow I am going to speak about repentance. How do we make it to Him? If we stay away from Him, how we go back to Him? I said, how? Tell me, teach me. He said, one day I went to a cemetery for a funeral and I saw the burial. Then I asked myself that this one that we just buried, he's almost my age. He's still young. What happened to him? Nobody gave him warning. Nobody sent him a message that you're going to die on such and such date. So I thought, if death comes to me, am I ready for it? Prepared for it? No, I'm not. But yet, I am so attached to this ephemeral life, to this physical life, to the entertainment and the vanities of this life. What shall I do? An idea came to my mind. I saw earlier some workers were digging the grave. So I said, I'll come to the cemetery and I dig my grave with my own hands. And I did this. After a few days, I went to the director of the cemetery and I asked him to purchase a grave. First, he thought, I am buying this grave for my mother, ailing mother or father. I put my own name. He said, this is you? I said, yes, I'm buying it for myself. He told me, but you are healthy. What's wrong with you? Go and enjoy life. I said, yes, this is going to make me enjoy life more. When I think seriously about life, when I think seriously about my mission here. So I bought the grave from him, and I said, I'm going to dig it myself. And I started digging the grave. When I made a hole to my size, I went there and I laid down in the grave for a few hours. And I imagined myself, if someone is going to put the dirt on me, to bury me, who's going to help me? Now I can cry. I have legs to walk, to run, to shout, to cry. People can listen to me. But at the time of death, I try to call, I try to seek help, but nobody is going to listen to me. This made me think seriously about death. And from that day, I decided not to commit a sin. It is not worth it. It is really not worth it. Let's be serious about this. When we go to the cemetery, it is a lesson for us. Today we carry a coffin, tomorrow we could be the next. We could be the next. Let's be prepared. Let's be prepared. Some people told me that life is too short. When we were coming now to the session, my friend was telling me we were kids. When we were kids back home 40 years ago, they were telling us about year 2000. Some of us, they took it in a funny way. 2000, who's going to live? 2000, year 2000, 40 years from now. 2000 came, and now 2007. This means that we are moving fast. Where is the final destination? Al-Qabr. Imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah, aw hufratun min hufar al-nar. Let me conclude with the fourth fear. Why people fear death? People fear death because of the fear of annihilation, extinction. They fear that once they die, not only their body is going to disappear, their name, their legacy, their wealth, their knowledge, their family, all going to disappear and go away. And therefore, they fear that. They worked hard to make a name, to make a reputation for themselves. And it is going away now. What is the answer? The answer is in the Quran. That, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Your name is not going to go away. It's not going to disappear. Even your body, let alone your soul remains. Your soul remains and your body also remains. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَى أَنْ نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. We can recraft and reestablish and reshape and manufacture him and his fingerprints too. بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَ. You are not going to disappear. Your body is going to come back. Not only your soul and your spirit and your nafs, your body too. So don't worry. You are not going to be annihilated. You are going to stay. So work hard for that day. Plato, the student of Socrates and the teacher of Aristotle, some 300 years before Jesus, alayhi salam, he said that people do not understand death. People associate death with a great affliction and a great fear because they don't understand it. But if they reflect on the matter, on the affairs of death, they will realize that it is not only not an affliction, yet it is goodness and a blessing from God. Because death represents the completion of our cycle. Death represents the perfection of the soul. And he gives this example. He says, our soul now, my soul is trapped within what? within the body. The soul is incarcerated in your body. And the soul is trapped in your body. And the soul has to follow the body with all the excessiveness and corruption. At the time of death, you relieve. And you release. And you set free your soul to move into the direction of perfection, human perfection. It reminded me of the poetry by Abu al-Ala al-Ma'arri. Abu al-Ala al-Ma'arri, a great philosopher and poet. He was blind during the end of his life. He could not walk. He was confined to his house and he was blind. Someone came to him and asks him about his life, his health. He says to him, أَرَانِي فِي الثَّلَاثَةِ مِنْ سُجُونِي. I am incarcerated behind the three bars, not one, three prisons. أَرَانِي فِي الثَّلَاثَةِ مِنْ سُجُونِي. فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنِ النَّبَإِ النَّبِيثِ لَفَقْدِي نَاظِرِي وَلُزُومِ بَيْتِي وَكَوْنِ الرُّوحِ فِي الْجَسَدِ الْخَبِيثِ. I have three prisons. One, I lost my vision. I'm incarcerated. Second, I'm confined to my house. I can't leave the house. I'm unable to leave my house because I am disabled. Third, and most importantly, my soul is trapped inside my body. And I am waiting for death to come to release my soul. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to death, He gives you this glad tiding, the good news. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah turji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. A true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not experience fear at the time of death. ارجعي إلى ربك راضية, pleasing and well pleased. Happy yourself and making your Lord satisfied and happy. راضية مرضية. إن الذين سبقت لهم منا الحسنى أولئك عنها مبعدون. We don't only give you bad news, we have to give you some good news too. Some hope. إن الذين سبقت لهم منا الحسنى أولئك عنها مبعدون. They will be taken away, far away. Far away from where? From the hellfire. أولئك عنها مبعدون. لا يسمعون حسيسها وهم في ما اشتهت أنفسهم خالدون لا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر. The great fear is not going to sadden them, to depress them on that day. في تفسيرها, when you open the books of tafsir, the tafsir of أهل البيت, إن الذين سبقت لهم منا الحسنى, those who receive our goodness, الحسنى هي ولاية علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام. If you befriend him here, if you follow his tradition, and his tradition exemplifies the tradition of the Prophet and the tradition of Allah. Imam Ali never sways away from the right, from the truth. عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْحَقِّ وَالْحَقُّ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ يَدُورُ مَعَهُ حَيْثُمَا دَارُ. If you are with him, a loyal supporter, a loyal servant and follower of him, you are not going to experience fear and anxiety. You're not going to experience loneliness, neither at the moment of death, nor when you stand before Allah's tribunal. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Those people welcome death. And one of those who welcomed death was Abu Abdullah al-Husayn عليه الصلاة والسلام. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. If you can greet this imam not only during Ashura, not only once a week, even with this short salam and greetings, just a brief, this is what I said, try to remember it, try to recite this salam once a day. Imam Hussein will be with you. Imam Hussein will be standing with you. He would not let you alone. He would not leave you. He will turn to you with Allah's mercy. مَا خَابَ مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِكُمْ. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was one of the people who were craving for death, yearning for death. Imam Hussein, when he was in Mecca, he gave this statement, this speech, خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَىٰ وَلْدِ آدَمْ مَخَطَّ الْقِلَادَةِ عَلَىٰ جِيدِ الْفَتَاتِ. Death has been ordained and decreed upon human being, just like a necklace that surrounds the neck of a lady from all directions. Death is surrounding us. خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَىٰ وَلْدِ آدَمْ. There is no escape. There is no escape. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. But we should seek an honorable death, a death with honor, with success. And this is the death of the martyrs. This is why in Dua al-Iftitah, during the month of Ramadan, we read a very important sentence. I don't know whether we believe in it or not, but that is a very important statement. وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكَ فَوَفِّقْ لَنَا. وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكَ. To be shaheed, to be a martyr. Imam Hussein was looking forward for this moment of shahada. He did not have any fear or an anxiety or unhappiness. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ أَنَا لَاقِيهِ. I have been given the choice. Nobody forced me, nobody coerced me to go for this death, for this journey. I have been given the choice. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ. I'm going to meet with it. أَنَا لَاقِيهِ كَأَنِّي بِأَوْصَالِي تُقَطِّعُهَا عُسْلَانُ الْفَلَوَاتِ بَيْنَ النَّوَاوِيسِ وَكَرْبَلَى. Imam Hussein pinpoints to the exact location of his martyrdom. This is why when he arrived in Karbala on the second day of Muharram, Imam Hussein, when he realized that this is the land of Karbala, he purchased the land from Bani Asad. He paid 6,000 dinars. 6,000 dinars to Bani Asad, the owner of that land, Al-Ha'ir al-Husayni. The surrounding, his grave and the surrounding area is the property of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He paid for that land because he knew this is his final resting place. This is his new house. He pinpoints to the exact location. He did not have any fear. Let me begin, take you to this journey that led Imam Hussein to Karbala. So when we reach to the day of Ashura, we realized how the journey started from the beginning. Imam Hussein alayhi salam left the city of Medina. He headed to Mecca after living in Medina for 58 years. 58 years of his life. He left his birthplace in Medina. With his family members and companions, he went to Mecca and he stayed in Mecca for almost 4 months, 120 days. While he was in Mecca, he received hundreds of letters, delegates and invitations from the people of Iraq and the surrounding areas, calling upon him, inviting him to save them, to lead the movement against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah. And inshallah, in a couple of nights, I will explain to you how Imam Hussein dispatched his confidant, Muslim ibn Aqil, to assess the situation there. Imam Hussein decided to leave the city of Mecca on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Those of you who have been to Hajj, you know that this date is a very important date. This date, all the pilgrims, they leave the city of Mecca, they go to Mina to stay the day in Mina, and the following day, they end up in Arafat. Some of them, they choose to leave on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the city of Mecca, they leave the city of Mecca and they go directly to Arafat. While the pilgrims were heading to Mina, Imam Hussein went into exactly the opposite direction, heading to Iraq. It's a powerful declaration that the pilgrim, that the Hajj pilgrimage at this time, where people are suppressed by Yazid, by Bani Umayyah, by a tyrant and corrupt government, pilgrimage and Hajj would not give any fruits. And therefore Imam Hussein wants to rectify the Hajj. Imam Hussein wants to establish an honorable Hajj and pilgrimage. He headed to Iraq. The distance from Mecca to Karbala is 1470 kilometers. At an average rate of 64 kilometers per day, it took Imam Hussein 23 days to journey through the mountains and the deserts and the plains until he reached Karbala. He stopped in 38 resting place and a station and village. And then the last station was Karbala. When Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, who was in Basra and he was shifted to Kufa, he dispatched one of the most decorated army generals in the city of Kufa by the name of Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. He ordered him to intercept Imam Hussein alayhi salam wherever he finds him. Once Imam enters the Iraqi territory, he will intercept him with a battalion of a thousand soldiers and ban Imam from entering, going to the city of Kufa, because Imam's direction, initial direction, was to make his journey to Kufa. To ban him from going to Kufa or returning to Medina. فَمْنَعْهُ مِنَ الْكُوفَةِ أَوْ الْعَوْدَةِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ So Hur, he intercepted the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And there was some deliberation and discussion between them. There was some debate. But since Al-Hur was a noble man, and we might be able to speak about him tomorrow inshallah, he was a very noble man, hailing from a noble family. At the end, Hur turned to Imam Hussein. He said, Yabna Rasulullah, ana akrahu qitalak. I don't intend to argue with you or fight with you. Fakhudh tariqan nasafan bayni wa baynak. لعلي أكتب إلى الأمير عبيد بن الله ابن زياد لعل الله يجعل لي العافية من أمرك. I want you to take a middle road. I have been ordered not to let you to go to Kufa, neither to go back to Medina. So you have to find another way. So I might report back to my commander. So may Allah at the end will find me some salvation and some forgiveness. لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُ لِي مِنْ أَمْرِكَ الْعَافِيَةِ Here, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he turns to his companions and his friends, and he asks them, who does know the road, a different road, to another place, to another city? مَنْ مِنْكُمْ يَعْرِفُ الطَّرِيقَ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْجَادَّةِ There was only one man by the name of At-Tirmah. At-Tirmah was a camel driver, a cameleer. He said, Ana ya Aba Abdullah, I know this area very well. I live in this area. I can take you to another safe place. So Imam alayhi salam asked him to lead the caravan And he started chanting. The cameleer at that time, they would chant. They will express their aspirations, their dreams, their goals. At-Tarimah, since he was one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, let's hear to what he was saying. He was leading the caravan and saying, I have the best caravan. In my caravan is Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family. In my caravan, I have the family of Rasulullah, the household of the Prophet. So, all the camel and the horses, I want you to walk. I want you to speed up to reach our final destination. يا ناقتي لا تذعري من زجري وشمري قبل طلوع الفجر بخير ركبانين وخير سفري آل رسول الله آل الفخر السادة البيض الوجوه الزهري حتى تحلي بكريم النجر يا مالك الضر يا مالك النفع معا والضر يا مالك النفع معا والضر أيد حسينا سيدي بالنصر. So the caravan of Imam Hussein was journeying through the desert until they reached a point when the horse of Imam Hussein came to a complete halt. The horse stopped completely and did not move. Imam Hussein turned to his companions. Ashabi ma ismu hadihi al-ard. What is the name of this land? Qalu ya Aba Abdullah tusamma al-ghadiriyat. He asked them, is there another name for it? Alaha ismun akhar. Qalu ya Aba Abdullah ismuha shati' al-furat. The banks of the Euphrates. قال هل لها اسم آخر قالوا نعم يا أبا عبد الله اسمها كربلاء. When they said كربلاء, Imam Hussein عليه السلام said, أصحابي قفوا وانزلوا ها هنا محط رحالنا ها هنا تقتل رجالنا وتذبح أطفالنا وتسبى نساؤنا. This is where we camp, my companions and my friends. This is where we settle tonight. My friends, this is where our men are going to be slain and our kids are going to be slaughtered. And our women are going to be taken captives. نزلت تلك القافلة. They all descended in that land on the second day of Muharram. Allahu Akbar. This was one moment. But let me tell you, the family of Imam Hussein was very confident. قلوب الهاشميات, the hearts and the minds of the women and the children in the camp of Imam Hussein was very strong, was very confident, composed, unraveled and calm. Why? Because at that time Imam Hussein was there. Al-Abbas alayhi salam was there. They were flanked from all directions by the youth, the men, the companions, Aliyun al-Akbar, Al-Qasim and others. On the day of the 11th, Al-Hadi Ashar min al-Muharram, Laytaka ya Tarimmah takunu hunak. Who led the caravan of Imam Hussein back to Kufa from Karbala? No men existed at that time, only women and children. هذه نساؤك من يكون إذا سرت بالأمس سائقها ومن حاديها أيسوقها زجر بضرب متونها والشمر يحدوها بسب أبيها عجبا لها بالأمس أنت تصونها واليوم آل أمية تحميها. السيدة زينب عليها السلام, she stood in the middle turning to the right and the left. There is no man, there is no brother, there is no companion, there is no nephew to come to her aid and to her rescue. بقيت محيرة وصف جبليدي أن ولا عباس يبرالي ولا حسين يضربوني ايمن ابجي وتدمع العين وتبقى عبرتي بصدر تكسر.
أحم الضايعات بعدك ضعنا في يد النائبات. نسألك اللهم وندعوك. Raise your hands and raise your face and raise your heart and your emotions and your aspirations and your needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this solemn moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, when the heart breaks and the tears are starting to flow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yanzuru bi'ayn ar-rahmati ila 'ibadihi. Allah would look with an eye of compassion and mercy and forgiveness to his servants. Nas'aluka Allahumma wa nad'uk بسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. إلهنا بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم فرج عن المكروبين, اللهم فرج عن المظلومين والمحرومين, اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين, اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا ووفقنا للتوبة وللعمل الصالح يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم سدد وأيد جميع العاملين في سبيلك يا أرحم الراحمين, وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء نهدي للجميع ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات. A brother asked me about the topics of the next nights. Ashura is an occasion, an opportunity to address many topics, but I'd like to address the most important. Therefore, we're going to address repentance, inshallah, tomorrow at Tawbah. And then for 3 nights, we're going to address the issue of intergender relations and marriage and divorce and family values. And then, inshallah, we're going to address the issues about youth problems and child raising and many other issues, inshallah, in the upcoming nights. If you have any suggestions or if you have any comments, please share them with me. Either write to me a note or you can see me here and talk to me. And if you are interested in any other subject, let me know about it, inshallah. Wa shukran wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.